Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, coming to you guys on this Monday here, and thank you for joining me on the only Pelicans-centered podcast that comes to you daily, 5 days a week, though four right now. We're in the offseason. But hey, we've got more updates for you than Jazz Fest had yesterday on Sunday, the rainy day that it was, where, oh, they just posted in the morning it was going to be delayed, and then go, oh, hey, we're open. Not, hey, we're trying to get this day, doing all of that. So an interesting day here in New Orleans. A lot to recap from the weekend, though, with two big playoff series ending. First, Chris Paul and the Clippers falling in seven games to the Utah Jazz. They were the home team, too. Also, over the weekend, you saw the Bulls bow out to the Boston Celtics. And both of those series could be pretty telling for their respective franchises. You've got two big-name guys on there. Chris Paul, we've talked about him here before on the podcast, and Jimmy Butler over in Chicago, a name the Pelicans were rumored to be interested in and linked with earlier this past season around the trade deadline when it looked like he might really want out before the Bulls kind of snuck into the playoffs. Then Rondo got hurt after they were up 2-0 and everything kind of fell apart. And then Boston looks like they have tons of lives here after falling down early to the Wizards yesterday and before they were able to come back. So talk about both those guys here, maybe some of the odds on what it would take to get him here. Not the odds, but the odds of them coming here, what it would take to give up to bring him in. Do a season in review on Omer Asik as well, and also some news of the day regarding Dante Cunningham. Before we get to that, though, don't forget that Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found, apps like Stitcher and so forth. So please do me a favor, subscribe to it. If you can, find it on social media. It's on Facebook. Just search Locked On Pelicans. Give it a quick like. All it takes is a button press here. Follow it on Twitter as well, at Locked On Pels. It is coming to you 5 days a week here, this kind of content. No one else is putting out about your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and liking it, subscribing to it. All of that is definitely an important thing for keeping it free, for keeping it 5 days a week. So please do me that favor. Click those buttons to make sure you're up to date with everything Locked On Pelicans. So first news of the day, and that's really that came out over the weekend, according to Chris Haynes with ESPN.com. He's one of their reporters for them when it comes to covering the NBA, that, you know, sources say Dante Cunningham plans to decline the player option and become an unrestricted free agent this summer. Should be no surprise for you guys if you follow the Pelicans. Cunningham had a player option that was going to be for $3.1 million, which is very low. It was signed under the old mid-level exception deal, I believe, or the biannual exception, one of the two. It doesn't really matter because they don't really apply to everything that we're going with anymore when it comes to the new collective bargaining agreement. But Cunningham was going to opt out of this no matter what. It was basically a below-market deal. He was at $3.1 million. If he opted in, the Pels would have thrown like confetti everywhere and been very excited about it. And you're looking at a guy who did play 66 games for the Pels this past season, started 35 of them, and really started in that small ball lineup. But when they switched to more of a Davis Cousins centric lineup after the trade and abandoned small ball, he was a good, useful big to have off the bench, be your third or fourth, really, depending on what the rotations were for the Pelicans at the time. And, you know, he's improved since he was brought in by Dell Demps a couple of years ago in the middle of the year after a stint with Minnesota. And one of the things that really jumps out to you with him is his three-point percentage. He was always great at those long twos, but once Gentry really came in and worked with him, he started shooting more threes per game. It really jumped up from a non-existent number from less than half a three per game. Last season, he shot 2.2 per game. This past season was 2.7. Year one was 31.6%, so he was getting to a respectable number. That's after 10% the season before. And basically, there was no season higher than 11%. So it went from basically like 11% on the high end to 31.6%, pretty good. And this past season, he did hit 39.2% of his three-pointers. Not in a large volume, so that number's a little bit misleading. He only made 1.1 threes per game, but at least if he was in the corner, you didn't feel horrible about it. But at the same time, there was a game earlier in the year, I think it was against the Jazz, I don't remember now, where he shot three straight corner threes and missed all three of them from the exact same side of the court, the same location, and missed all of them. So that 39.2% is a little bit misleading. He's not as reliable of a three-point shooter as you'd like, partially because he's not taking such a high volume, and it's a big risk for the Pels if they were to have him take more threes per game, if he would actually get better or worse. There's no real way of knowing, so it could kind of go either way. He is an above-average defender for the Pelicans. You have to give him that. He can kind of defend multiple positions. He's athletic enough to switch onto a two for short periods of time. He can guard stretch fours, maybe not like a four like Anthony Davis, but stretch fours, three fours, things like that he can kind of do. So he has some of that positional versatility, which the Pelicans are looking for. This is end up becoming like a season in review on Dante Cunningham. I guess we should just call it that, but I still want to do the Omer Asik one for you guys. So, you know, he fits on this team and it works. He can be a starter in small ball if you need him to, and just be an energy guy off the bench for the Pelicans. He's not a great rebounder, particularly on the defensive glass where you need him to be in that small ball lineup. And that's why that small ball lineup really got hurt at times on the defensive glass, though almost any small ball lineup's going to do it. But basically what it comes down to is he's a free agent now. I'm sure the Pelicans will look at bringing him back. They should have his bird rights, or at least his early bird rights. So that's a good thing. I think he's not going to be a guy in high demand on the market free agency. He's not a day one, two, three guy, but kind of maybe your third tier free agent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when rumors start coming out over what people are offering different players and everything. But he's a guy you'd like to see back in New Orleans for the right price, assuming he's willing to accept that role. And it seems like he's genuinely done a good job of that here in New Orleans so far. So it'll be interesting to see what the future holds with him. All right, let's get to the fun stuff, and that's always going to be the trade rumors. And obviously, there's one name that actually came up in rumors, though I don't know how much you should read into that. And Sam Amico, veteran NBA reporter, writer, published a report on his website saying that, you know, Butler's under contract with the Bulls, and despite them making the playoffs, he still wants to come back, but the Pelicans are expected to be strong suitors for him. He doesn't say this is according to sources or anything like that, so this could be pure speculation, and it seems to me like it is, and that's fine. But the Pels were linked to Butler during and around the trade deadline, during the season, around the trade deadline. So there's reason to think they're going to kind of go after him again. I think this is largely going to be dependent on if the Pelicans keep their first round pick. If it lands in the top three, I would expect them to trade it. Just a guess. And we're going to talk more about Dell Demps' future and Gentry's future later in the week. There's a lot to talk about that now that the NFL draft is over. Maybe they can turn, you know, a quick eye to this other franchise that they own. But, you know, you have to figure if they keep this first round pick, it lands in the top three. There's no real reason to draft a guy that's not on the same timeline as Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and maybe or maybe not Drew Holiday, depending on what you think he's going to do. So Butler is a possibility from that, and they've already engaged him in trade talks, it sounded like, from that. So yeah, makes a lot of sense. They might go back after him again. Whether or not he'd fit into the team, he's obviously a talented guy. You saw him do so well this past series. And when the Celtics were down 2-0, it really looked like they should have traded that Brooklyn Nets pick for him during the season to bring him in at the trade deadline, or at least try to, I guess. But, you know, talented player, guy who kind of also needs the ball in his hand. I'm not sure quite how that would work with these two bigs who need the ball as well. But he's no denying he's a talented player. You know, you could figure it out at a certain point. You just want to get talent on this team. It would be a lot of fun if you got him in there. Fix that Pelicans kind of shooting guard small forward spot where they really could use the help. So see what happens. Don't read too much into it now when you see that rumor out there, though. The other name you're going to hear a lot about, and I've talked about him on here, and there's a good reason why he's going to kind of be talked about a lot, and that's Chris Paul. And the reason you're going to hear rumors flying about him is because of another disappointing first-round exit for the Clippers in a series they were favored, at least at the start, against the Utah Jazz. That kind of shifted once Blake Griffin got injured and Rudy Gobert came back, when all of a sudden maybe the writing was on the wall for this Clippers team. And so you've got to wonder if Chris Paul is still happy not having made a conference finals. He's gone just as far in the playoffs in New Orleans as he did in as he has in Los Angeles. I don't know if there's a reason to get too excited, though. I know Chris Paul wants to win. I know his legacy is also important to him, and you got to figure he's not happy losing in the first round, and maybe it's a grass is greener type situation for him. But on the other side, Clippers can offer him about $50 million more than any other team. Chris Paul's, I think, 32 now. So it's not like he's got tons of great years left. And maybe you just, you know, he's got one more big contract, really. Potentially another one after that, depending on how it goes. But you have to figure he wants to take that max deal, because once you hit 37, that's when you get another type of contract in the NBA that he negotiated into the CBA for the players' union. So it's a little bit interesting to see how this is going to go, but he's got to be upset there. If Blake Griffin bolts, that Clippers team looks even worse. And there's a real good chance Blake Griffin might bolt somewhere. Who knows? But if he does, is there really much of a reason, if you're Chris Paul, to go back there? They'll try and re-sign him. They're going to try and re-sign all of their guys, because frankly, if one or two of them leaves, they're just in the worst spot, where they're not really bad enough to be top three bad, but you're not making the playoffs. So you hit that no man's land period and, you know, spot in the NBA that no one really wants to be in, that the Pels have been living in for a little bit. So it's going to be an interesting thing. You know, there's a lot of talk about Chris Paul, as there should be. If he wanted to go ring chasing and try and win a title or get deep in the playoffs, yeah, he should leave. Should leave without a doubt. I think that team has just hit their ceiling. You kind of always see what they are. Doc Rivers, while a good NBA head coach, actually is not a good GM. That's what's doomed them a lot of this time. But at the same point, these past 2 years, there have been a lot of injuries for that team, and they haven't really been able to just go out and see what they could have done with a healthy roster. You kind of hit those lamentations that Pelicans fans have had over the past number of years. Like, if they were just healthy. Clippers fans are screaming the same thing. They think they would have won that series in seven games or six if that was the case. But fortunately, it hasn't been. You've got to wonder if maybe it's just time to call that experiment and break it on up. But you do have an owner who just paid $2 billion or something for the team. He's not going to be happy with that. Or a billion. I forget the exact number. He's not going to be happy with that. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Long shot at best. You know, he's a free agent. You don't need to trade stuff for him necessarily, though you might need to do a sign and trade to clear the salary for what he wants. But a possibility, a name to keep an eye on. We can hope, right? There's not a 0% chance he's coming here. So last but not least here on Locked On Pelicans, and check that, last and definitely least here on this edition of Locked On Pelicans, is your season in review for your favorite player, Omer Asik. And the season in review is he played in like under 40 games, averaged 2.7 points per game. After the All-Star break, got very sick, lost a lot of weight, is really, really skinny, and didn't play the remainder of the season. And is still getting paid like 10 plus million and is a near untradeable contract. When his name comes up now, it's either in relation to how Dell Demps made a mistake signing him to that deal, or whether or not the Pelicans should stretch him. And when that's kind of the talk about everything, it's not too good. I will tell you a funny story about him. I was downtown in the CBD with my girlfriend having dinner at Marcello's down there, the Italian place. He comes over, parks his Porsche, big Porsche, SUV Porsche. He's too big to get into a little one, I would assume, in front of a fire hydrant. Walks on in wearing all Pelican sweats, gets his food to go. He must have called it in. Some guy went over and talked to him for a moment, came out, left, and then drove away. And that's my story about Omer Asik. So at least you know he's trying to put on weight. The food there is really good too. So, you know, it's also like Italian, so it's not exactly healthy for you. So he's got to get that weight back on. But that right there is all you really need to know for the season in review for Omer Asik. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, don't forget, I am your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you do that from. Give it a like on Facebook, Locked On Pelicans. Follow it on Twitter, at Locked On Pels. That also helps keep this free for you guys and 4 or 5 days a week, depending on the time of year. Still, a lot to cover this rest of the week. Gentry and Demps, their job security is definitely a topic. The NFL draft is over. Maybe you paid attention to this other franchise that you own, and you're not having your time, if you're Mickey Loomis, taken up by scouting players. I'm sure they still need to deal with some things for it. But right now, no word on whether or not these two guys are going to be back and safe yet. So we'll talk about that later in the week here. More trade rumors, more free agency things, and definitely more player season in reviews here for the Pelicans. I also want to talk some playoffs at some point. It's been a lot of fun. I've been watching these series very, very closely. You might have heard me the other day on the Locked On NBA podcast recap in the West. So we'll take care of all of that for you guys. So it'll be a fun, jam-packed week of Locked On Pelicans. So definitely stay tuned. So thank you all for listening today, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.